Agenda item number 7, report and possible discussion on update of Comptroller's Freshwater Mussel Work Group by Tiffany Morgan, Environmental Service Manager.
Thank you. As you'll remember, at the last meeting, we had a representative from the Comptroller's office come and inform you about the pending endangered freshwater mussel issue that's going to affect the Brazos, Colorado, and Guadalupe River basins. And I have been attending their freshwater mussel work groups that is their the state's attempt to respond to this impending issue. And I was just going to give you an update on the last three meetings that we've had. The February 7th meeting was the real kickoff meeting. The comptroller came and requested very much that all potential entities impacted by this, whether it be industry, municipalities, river authorities, agriculture, please participate in their process and be open to considering voluntary conservation options. At the same time, the regional director from Albuquerque, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, attended the meeting, gave an update on the species status assessment, which is the first step in that listing determination on whether they should be endangered or not, and that is underway. He indicated, again, the same message as the comptroller, now is the time to start considering voluntary conservation efforts, and depending on what could be put in place and the timing of it, if there's a substantial group effort to do some voluntary conservation, that may give him the authority to delay a listing. And essentially that gives them the backing and protection they need from the environmental lobby, who will sue them very quickly if they don't move or have something significant to put forward as, say, they're conserving the species. At the March 24th meeting, Comptroller's issues kind of declared a little more on their voluntary conservation and what they'd like to see. They would like each entity to sit down and look at our operations, and is there something we can offer up in the vein that would be beneficial to long-term mussel conservation? And if we feel like there is something, we're willing to commit to the issue. He would like us to make a firm decision that is a process we're going to pursue, and relay that decision to them by February 2018. Then U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service did announce one thing that's positive. One of the three mussels that impacted the Brazos, they are delaying decisions on until 2020. Recent genetic studies indicate it is the exact same mussel as another mussel in the Guadalupe, and if they are, the scientific community does prove that they're the same. Their ability to meet the criteria for endangered just got extremely more difficult because there's a whole lot of them around. They recently had an April 17th meeting, but I had to turn in my materials for this meeting prior to that. It was mainly technical, stepping through the different threats that U.S. Fish and Wildlife has identified, reviewing some of the specific literature that they use to do that, and trying to plot some strategies on how do we counter some of those decisions. Some of them are a little farcical. Oil spill from 1991 in the upper Brazos is not causing an imminent threat today. So how do we respond to some of those statements? There will be, at least for the moment, three more meetings planned. They're going to bring in more information on different potential conservation methods. I am currently evaluating some ideas that I have on how we could do that without having to offer up water. And hopefully I'll have a proposal to our management team by the end of May for their consideration, and maybe can start briefing y'all on our thoughts at the July board meeting or the October board meeting so we can make that decision in January that the comptroller has asked us to make. The other thing that's ongoing right now is U.S. Fish and Wildlife sent Director Scott a request for information on threats and any mussel data we have. We are in the process of preparing that response and hope to have it out by the end of the week. It's rather extensive. And then in June, U.S. Fish and Wildlife is holding a Central Texas expert mussel meeting, which I've already registered for. Not real clear on what they're hoping to accomplish with that. They haven't put out the agenda yet, but we are registered on the list. And they're still pushing forward strongly with their intent to have a listing decision by 2018 on these mussels. Any questions?
Is there amount of those particular mussels that would say that they are not endangered, they're not threatened, and so you wouldn't have to do anything? And would it be reasonable to go do more studies?
I absolutely think it would be reasonable to do more studies, because I think there is a significant amount of information we don't know about their life cycle biology,
mm-hmm.
Nor do we have very strong historical records of what the populations were in the 1800s, early 1900s. That is unfortunately not the way the Endangered Species Act works.
It won't work like that.
I think on some of our mussels, regardless of what we come up with, I think there's a very strong chance, because there is a push within certain elements of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife that really want things to be listed. They're going to say that even though they are in three river basins in the state, that's such an isolated geographic area, that a widespread drought could eliminate the entire population. It's going to be a fallback argument. Climate change gets thrown in there a lot too. So while the comptroller is doing some great research that I think will answer a lot of these questions, how have they survived so long when we have areas that we know pre-dam construction were routinely dry, but there's still supporting large mussel populations? I think that would be a great recommendation. I have very politely stated that in our letter of response, that we would really appreciate that they delay decision until the comptroller's research can be completed. I don't expect that will be responded to or probably even acknowledged.
So worst case, if we get those listed,
mm-hmm.
then what does that mean? I mean, if you mm-hmm. list in some area, I know some species, it's like no more building and a whole lot of things like that, prohibitions.
There are a whole lot of potential negatives for us if they become listed.
Mm-hmm.
Reviewing what has happened in other areas of the country with endangered aquatic species,
mm-hmm.
certainly projects will become exponentially more expensive, because we will have to do an abundance of environmental work and probably some specific design to prove that our projects aren't going to impact them.
Yeah,
I think some projects like Allen's Creek, that's very doable. Some of our other regional water planning proposed projects, it's probably going to essentially kill the project. As far as times of drought is probably our biggest vulnerability, and there have been cases where they have required municipalities, industries, agriculture to cease taking water to protect the endangered aquatic species, and there's Supreme Court decisions that support that. So
okay.
it could be, it's hard to predict right now. I'm kind of crystal balling it. It could be a minor annoyance, and at times it could be a significant issue.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Why did this study come from the comptroller's office?
Back about three sessions ago, the legislature created an intergovernmental task force on endangered species. And due to the potential impacts for endangered species to impact the economy, the comptroller was named the belly button of that group. But it includes Water Development Board, Parks and Wildlife, TCEQ, Department of Agriculture, are all part of that group of agencies that are supposed to work together, get the necessary research done so that there is good, solid science to base these decisions on and move forward. But I think the comptroller, mainly because of the economic impact potential, that's how it ended up in his lap. Any more questions?
Any more questions?
Okay.
Thank you, Tiffany.